Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 31st, 2014. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yay! Happy Halloween!
Yay, happy Halloween. That elated voice you just heard is Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being on. And also sitting quietly in the corner, much to my surprise, John Martellaro.
Oh, wait, that's not Kelly. That's Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell because of the way Brian combs his hair.
It's true.
Yeah, that's the giveaway right there.
Yeah, that's the giveaway. Well, you know, and granted, it is hard to tell since everyone in the studio is wearing a costume today.
It's true. Yes, yes, yes. And my Kelly costume is obviously working.
You know what I love, Brian, is that you totally picked up what I was putting down and ran with it.
Not my first rodeo, sir.
I'm surprised you recognized me with these Spock ears on.
Yeah, you know, pretty much looks just like you, brother.
And I've seen an old photo of you, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, so I figured since it's Halloween, we could start off with something that's kind of scary or potentially scary. And this is the news that a judge in Virginia has ruled that while police cannot compel you as a suspect in a crime to enter your passcode into your smartphone to unlock it so that they can look through the contents of your device, they can compel you, if you're using Touch ID, to put your finger on the home button and unlock your phone.
Balderdash. What the heck are we coming to in this country when the right of corporations and the rich to spend unlimited funds to buy elections is more protected than our privacy? I don't get me wrong. This is just a federal judge. It's not a Supreme Court decision. But this is un-freaking believable.
Yeah, according to the article at Mashable, though, he's just following precedent and the law. Not that I agree with it. But
no,
I don't think
he's interpreting precedent. He's interpreting precedent. The precedent involved here was a 1966 or 65 decision that the police could compel you to take your fingerprints. That is a world of difference between compelling you and forcing you to unlock your device.
Sure.
With your finger. I mean, it's just
fingerprint to look you up in the criminal database is different than forcing you to use your fingerprint to unlock the universe of your iPhone.
Correct.
And yet the judge does not see a difference in this case. He's looking at it as a form of physical evidence that police are legally justified in collecting.
It's just complete nonsense. It is complete and utter nonsense. If this remains the law of the land, but through interpretation, which don't get me wrong, this is what the courts are supposed to do. The judge is doing what he's supposed to do. I disagree with his decision, not the process. Just to be clear. In other words, I'm not accusing him of being an activist judge because that whole concept is utter nonsense.
Well, but I think you have to distinguish between police engagement initially and being charged with a crime. I'd like to see a clarification of the law that says that you have to be charged with a felony before you can be compelled to reveal the contents of your phone. If a policeman just stops you for speeding and just gets curious about your phone because he suspects there's something going on and he compels you to open up your iPhone to him and you haven't been charged with anything, I don't think that's right either.
I agree.
However, is already protected. I mean, the Supreme Court has already ruled that that's illegal.
Right. And then, John, the other part where if you have been charged with a felony, then you could be compelled. Okay, at that point, it's a moot issue because if you have enough evidence to charge someone with a felony or a misdemeanor, then you also very likely, or you ought to, have enough evidence so that you could put together a compelling search warrant for the device, and then get that approved through a judge, mm-hmm. and then you can compel the person to put their finger on the Touch ID sensor and unlock their phone.
Still, it should be self-incrimination. You should be protected from this by the protections against the self-incrimination. This notion that a passcode can't be compelled because it's knowledge, whereas your fingerprint is not knowledge.
Your fingerprint, they say, is evidence.
Which is fine. I'm all for the police being able to collect your fingerprints. It's just stretching that into the ability to force you to use your own fingers to possibly incriminate yourself is so incredibly wrong. I am almost, but not quite.
But Brian, I agree with you. But an interesting question is a phone's memory an extension of your mind, or is it a completely orthogonal entity?
I think that it would be easy to argue that it is not an extension of your mind. Just like the contents of a safe, while you may have knowledge of what's in there, is not an extension of your mind.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Now, just to be clear, I agree with you, Brian, that I think that this is a deplorable path to head down, and that I think this judge's decision is wrong. But then we have this kind of gray area. Let's say that you get stopped for suspicion of drunk driving, and so the police compel you to do roadside maneuvers, to perform roadside maneuvers that they then use to collect evidence against you. And then at that point, they're like, okay, Brian's drunk. So then maybe they compel you to blow into a breathalyzer, or they take a blood sample. So they're now collecting physical evidence, and the courts have ruled that's perfectly acceptable without a warrant. So is the compelling someone to put their finger onto a Touch ID button different from that? From a legal standpoint,
yeah, I think so.
And yeah, because it's not something you know. The phone, as you agreed, is something orthogonal to your mind, so it's not something you're divulging that you know.
And I'm inclined to agree with you, but I have a feeling these are the types of debates that are going to come up in court. Because my assumption is that this ruling, while it's limited to Virginia right now, it does set a precedent that courts in other states can use. Eventually, this or a similar case is going to find its way to the Supreme Court, at which point we'll get a more definitive ruling. And what I'm hoping is that the Supreme Court says, no. This is no different than forcing someone to enter their passcode. Keep in mind, this is not just something that affects iPhone owners, because if, let's say, you're an Android fan and you're like, ha ha, you bought an iPhone, cops can get your stuff. No, if your Android phone, your Windows phone, your laptop has a fingerprint scanner on it and you're using that to unlock the device, same thing. It just so happens that that Touch ID is the target of this specific argument, but it encompasses a much broader range of devices.
Yeah, for sure.
Got a question, Jeff. Yes. Suppose you've used your right index finger to unlock your phone, and the policeman asks you to use Touch ID to unlock your phone, and you put your thumb on it, and it doesn't work.
My guess is that eventually it would be discovered that you attempted to foil the investigation by putting the wrong finger on there, and then you would be charged with whatever state's...
Well, maybe you forgot which finger was the applicable finger, and that's something that you know in your mind but can't be forced to divulge.
And
well, I mean, it sounds like with this ruling that the police would be able to physically take your hand and physically apply it to your device.
Try every finger, right? Forcibly try every finger.
Sure.
And then how many taps do you get before it just forces you to put a passcode in?
You can set that in preferences.
That's right. So set it to something low.
Yep.
But John, to answer your question, I think what would happen is that you would be charged with whatever version of obstruction would apply for that jurisdiction.
Okay. Yep. Just a thought.
Yeah. I'm certain that there are people that will do just that. And I think that will prove to be a very interesting argument as that weaves its way through the court system and potentially as part of this whole thing that I'm pretty sure is going to end up in the Supreme Court's lap at some point.
Yeah, I should imagine that it will. I should imagine that it will.
So anyhow, what it sounds like for the moment is that if you want to keep your device secure from law enforcement, then don't use a fingerprint unlocking system.
Yes. It does seem like we're at that. I am so tense about the principles involved in this. I am so incredibly tense about the principles involved in this. I really thought that we had reached a really good place when the Supreme Court ruled that cops can't search your phone when they pull you over. So you need a warrant.
And that was a very welcome ruling and very appropriate, I think.
But this notion here that I don't know, I'm super tense.
I'm very uncomfortable with this ruling too.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
I've been reading a wonderful book by John M. Barry called Roger Williams and the Creation of the American Soul, Church, State, and the Birth of Liberty. And it's the revelatory look at how Roger Williams shaped the nature of religion, political power, and individual rights in America. And it starts off about the time of King James in the late 16th century. It's a fascinating book. Every page was an illuminating insight into how the U.S. Constitution got formed. So anyway, I just wanted to get a pitch in for a really good book. All first right. class.
All right.
Well, we have just a couple minutes left. So how about if we hit something that in comparison, is lighthearted?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the news that a grocery chain in Michigan, I believe, is refusing to shut off is refusing to shut off NFC for mobile payments. And this company is also part of the MCX Current C consortium. And the company's name is Meijer, I believe.
Oh, it's Meijer, don't you know?
Just as I predicted. I predicted this in my article on Wednesday, that Apple Pay would start to create dividing lines and lines in the sand, and companies that wanted to do the right thing would sign up and exploit the public relations aspect of doing the right thing. This is terrific to hear.
And it will also be interesting to see what happens, because it sounds like they are violating the terms of their contract with MCX. And they're being very open about the fact that, nope, we are not shutting off NFC. We're going to get
payments. They've been doing – so this chain – if you read the comments, this chain is much beloved by at least some of our readers in the Midwest, and they've had these NFC payment terminals, NFC equipped payment terminals, for like 5 years, which is just like well on the bleeding edge of this stuff.
That's why I think they're not in trouble with MCX, because they've been doing it for so long. When they signed their MCX agreement, there must have been some provision that says, hey, you can't stop us from doing what we've been doing for 5 years.
No, I doubt that.
I doubt that, too. I think that they're flat out in violation of the contract.
Yeah, the MCX agreement is predicated on the notion of excluding all other payment solutions.
Yeah, I know. But when you've been doing something for so long, and somebody's desperate to rope you into the system, they're going to let you off the hook based on something you've been doing for a long, long time.
Yeah, but that's going to set a precedent, which is that everyone can do it. And then one of the what I think is one of the key points of currency, which is to cut out all competition.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing with MCX. That's the thing we don't like about them, is that monopolistic attitude of trying to cut out the competition.
Wait a minute, that's Apple's business like model.
Well, you know,
that's not what I don't like about them. That's creating, what makes them laughable.
Creating something great that people like is different than forcing you to sign a contract.
What I don't like about MCX is not that they've done this. That's what makes them a laughable company / system. What I don't like about them is that they would go so far as to demand, which is what I still assume, but we still don't know, happened with Rite Aid and CVS, is that they demanded that these payment solutions stop. I mean, that's just ridiculous. What I don't like about them is that they want our credit card number, our bank account numbers and our social security numbers. I mean, that's
driver's license info.
And driver's license. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. But this business with exclusivity is just laughable.
Yeah, it's the old way of thinking. It right away it just smacks of something we're trying to get away from. And Apple Pay is such a breath of fresh air that it creates such a great contrast that there's going to be battle lines drawn here very clearly for years.
Yeah, and Miser is clearly choosing the side of the side of being open. Let's cut to 6 months from now. Currency, no one's going to remember currency. Currency is going to be MCX. The whole thing is going to be a complete non-issue, certainly within the year. I mean, this is just a bump in the road. It's never going to go anywhere. It's not going to get off the ground. No one is ever going to do it. It is just a topic du jour.
What's going to happen in my 6 months from now, what's going to happen is that there's going to be so much bad press about currency that what's going to happen is that for those people who experiment with it, they're going to fire up the app and they're going to go, oh, social security number. I don't like that. Driver's license. I don't like that. Comes out of my checking account. I don't have any credit card protections, fraud protections. I don't like that. And so they're going to consciously go into Kohl's and Target and Walmart and CVS and they're going to say, I want to use my credit card. And they'll use their credit card in masses the way they've always used their credit card. And currency will just die, as you said.
You know, I think that's not going to help currency. But I think the real killer for currency is actually the fact that this is a joint venture between a lot of retailers. And they're all coming into this with their own agenda. And when you put together a group of companies each trying to attain their own goals through a system,
yeah,
it is doomed to failure.
Look at their name. The Merchant Customer Exchange. I mean, this is where the commodity. Yeah. I mean, and they're just being more open about it than Facebook and Google.
You'd think Target would have learned their lesson, though.
You would think, and yet here we are.
Yeah, and yet here we are.
All right, we are out of time. But I'm so glad that both of you were here today, because I knew that you were both going to have some awesome insights on both these topics, and you did not let me down. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Certainly.
And John, thank you too for being here.
Spock out.
And everyone have a wonderful Halloween and a fantastic weekend.